Hello, my name is Wenming Yi. I'm a technical evangelist working for the Windows Azure Evangelism team. Today I'll cover building and running high-performance computing applications in Windows Azure. For those of you who are familiar with our Windows HPC Server product, you'll learn what's new and how you can utilize Windows Azure HPC Scheduler to take advantage of dynamic compute resources on Windows Azure. And for those of you who are not familiar with the HPC product, we can also help you to see what your application can do to take advantage of the scaling capability of the Windows HPC Azure Scheduler. So for people who don't always have enough compute resources, the HPC Scheduler can definitely help you run your existing compute-intensive applications on Azure. So in terms of topics, we'll cover some of the basic patterns of several distributed compute-intensive workloads, including traditional HPC applications. Most technical compute workloads or applications require a significant amount of CPU power. Some of these applications are simply too slow to run on a single desktop. So for example, an automobile application that we had to run would take almost a month or 31 days on a single computer. The same application, when you run that in parallel on a 128-core small cluster, it simply took between 12 and 16 hours. As you can see, even though we didn't get perfect scaling, a cluster can save you a dramatic amount of time when it comes to having mission-critical applications. So divide and conquer is the basic idea of using a cluster to speed up your application, and given that it is possible. So dividing up the work into chunks is the basic strategies of having a cluster. So in the past, the cost of supercomputer limits people from being able to compete or being able to do the high fidelity simulations that they need. The elastic nature of the cloud allows you to potentially use as much compute power as you can afford, with an important benefit of paying for only what you need. There's no physical space, planning, or large initial capital investment that you will have to make. HPC or high-performance computing and Azure both seem to take advantage of massively parallel commodity hardware by parallelizing their application. So as a business gain more access to cheaper and better computing resources, they save time and money. For example, a premium car manufacturer that used to crash test almost 150 actual physical vehicles for every car model they had to design. So now they drastically cut that physical crash test need because they are able to simulate that process using HPC. Of course, that applies to many other industries, including financial, bioscience, and other engineering disciplines. Now you no longer have to own an expensive supercomputer. You can do a lot of these simulations cheaply on Windows Azure. Digital media rendering and encoding. This is becoming a major user for on-demand compute. Some of the smaller movie studios and digital content creators are rendering high-resolution content without having to own a cluster. Risk calculation uses massive amount of compute power. They're becoming a commonplace in financial and insurance institutions. Engineering modeling and simulation has always been the traditional use of HPC, but they're still struggling to find enough compute resources to simulate every part of a manufacturing process. Some of the computational life science are probably the world's largest users of computing power. And one of the largest computing center that's being built in the U.S. will try to simulate the world's largest run of a molecular dynamics simulation. So they will be using 5 petabytes of disk space per simulation, and the runs will take hundreds and thousands of cores to do, and it will be a few months per run. So Earth and Science, or oil and gas companies, are also saving millions of dollars by accurately predicting where the oil reserve is. And some of these technologies are able to allow us to simulate and figure out where the reserves are in a matter of few feet, within a few feet. And data analytics has always demanded a lot of compute power as well. So people need to understand what their data looks like when they finish the simulation. MapReduce is a new way to handle large amounts of seemingly unimportant unstructured data. So we'll talk about this in another session that is called the Hadoop on Azure that I will be presenting. So now let's look at some of the programming models that works well in parallel. For example, if you want to evaluate the risk of 100,000 stocks, and you have 1,000 computers. So you can evenly divide up the work and run 100 stocks evaluations on each of the computers that you have on your cluster, and get that done 1,000 times faster because you have 1,000 machines. So the way to tell if your application is embarrassingly parallel is pretty easy. So if each unit of the work of the task that you're trying to do is well defined and don't depend on each other. So in this case, each of the stock that you're evaluating is a unit of work. That applies to making a digital movie, earth science type of applications, and also for anything that each of unit of work is extremely well defined. So in MPI programming model, instead of solving a lot of smaller independent problems, you're solving one single large problem that can't really fit on one computer. But this time it's a bit more complex because these computers need to communicate and coordinate the massive communication that happens. So luckily, computer scientists have been working on this for the last 30, 40 years, and they have an optimal solution. There is a numerical, it's a communication library called MPI, or the message passing interface. So since it requires a lot of communication among all the computers that are doing the work, some of these applications are not able to do the work any faster when you throw more computers at it. This is called not being able to scale. The reason is because when the communication overhead exceeds the ability to communicate, and when there is dependency between all the processes, your compute process slows down. So this applies to a lot of these engineering and scientific applications that involves having these numerical solvers. So for some of these applications, it requires specialized hardware. Actually, for most MPI applications, it requires specialized hardware, like InfiniBand network cards, that allows these machines to be able to send and receive 100 times faster than Ethernet. And the latency is also much lower. Some of the newer cards, you can get 1 to 2 microsecond latency instead of a more typical 70 to 90 microsecond delay on a typical Ethernet. So Azure does support MPI-based application, and the MPI runtime is included with our Azure scheduler. But with the current hardware limitation, you will have to test your application and see if your specific application can actually scale on Azure. So I/O-intensive applications are applications that require a lot of network or disk activity. Within the realm of HPC, there are parallel file readers that can take advantage of bundled I/O capability on multiple machines or nodes in a cluster. So one of these applications is for parallel visualization, because when you do very large simulations, the data has to sit on the cluster, not on your workstation where you actually look at the data. So when you have a massive amount of data, you can use applications like Paraview from Kitware, which is an open source company, and also Visit, which is also another massively parallel visualization tool from the Livermore National Lab to look at high-end scientific visualization. So they can typically pull in terabytes or even petabytes of data by doing the I/O in parallel, by being able to read the data in parallel. So that in the realm of the new paradigm called big data, we will go into more details in my Hadoop Azure session. However, the key for big data is really moving compute code onto the specific computers in your cluster so that it has the ability to work on that specific chunk of data that you need to operate on. So the MapReduce paradigm tries to minimize that data movement when you have a lot of data on a cluster. So it takes your code to the data instead of moving the data around. So basically the idea is to minimize having to do any sort of network I/O in a distributed file system. So HPC server really makes this a bit easier. In the previous versions, we have the HPC Server 2008 R2 and SP1 through SP1 and SP3. We already had the ability to control Windows 7 nodes within the cluster management tool. And you can also manage the Azure nodes in addition to the on-premise Windows server nodes. So it's capable of managing a lot of these resources that are heterogeneous. The head node that controls these resources, including Windows 7 cluster, your Windows HPC server cluster, and also the ability to do burst or adding the Windows Azure nodes, doesn't have to be a physical computer. You can also make that a VM or a virtual machine. So I've actually built a cluster that was sitting on my computer in a VM that controlled all the nodes that are sitting on Azure. So here are the HPC server components. If you look at the HPC job scheduler, it can manage a lot of compute resources. The HPC system are multi-user, so they typically process a lot of work every day. So it is up to the job scheduler to allocate resources properly and also, more importantly, efficiently. The job scheduler has many advantages because it has been working on these advanced algorithms to do the scheduling. So it makes use of your cluster as efficient as possible. Many of these jobs can also run for a long time. A lot of these simulations and calculations run for days or maybe sometimes months at a time. So it really needs a batch-based system to keep track of all these things. We also provide a distributed runtime that includes parametric sweep, and also cluster SOA or WCF. The parametric sweep application is calling the same application with slightly different inputs. That's the simplest parallel programming model where you're simply calling different parameters but with the same application. So we'll go into more details later. For SOA, it's a way of calling a compute-intensive WCF web services thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of times and load balance that across the cluster. So the idea is that you have the WCF services loaded in memory on all the compute nodes and be able to serve incoming web service calls very efficiently. So these are a very short burst of calls that would require a response very quickly, rather than using a parameter sweep application where you actually have to load the executable into memory and run the application and then do something else. The WCF model allows you to do things much faster. So we We just discussed what the MPI application is, and MPI runtime is also supported in the HPC. So Link2HPC is Microsoft's homegrown MapReduce engine for .NET. It is heavily used internally. It is available for you to use, but for this particular version of HPC server and also the scheduler component we released. But we decided not to productize it at this time. So, but we certainly will be using a lot of the technologies that's related to Link2HPC. So we always had the Excel integration with HPC server clusters. So you can run things like Visual Studio's tools for Office as a front end to invoke the program that you need to run on the cluster. And you can call SOA using .NET very easily from VSTO. And of course, the regular HPC on-premise cluster has deployment monitoring and diagnostic reporting tools and a lot of features that's designed to simplify an IT pro's job. So let's look at what we've actually done with the Azure component. So we've actually taken some of these features. The latest version of the Windows HPC SP3 release, we're also releasing many of these features to run independently on Windows Azure. So that means you can create a cluster with the runtime that we took from the server, but not all of it, onto Azure without having to purchase, maintain any type of hardware. So, however, this is only a subset, like as you can see here. And we also relying on a lot of the features that's already available on Azure to provide a lot of the sysadmin monitoring features for your cluster. So let's look at a demo, and I want to show you how you can use the Azure HPC scheduler to be able to do a digital rendering. So we're going to make a little movie, and we're going to take that movie. Once it's rendered, and we're going to send it to a Windows Phone client using notification service and telling it, you know, with how many frames has been rendered, and it will keep the status update in real time. And at the end, it will download the movie and play it back. So here's the output of the a digital rendering service that I am. I have deployed onto the cluster. So this is actually a much higher resolution a job that I did. So most of you probably know that making a 3D movie is particularly compute intensive. So we're taking each frame, have to generate a 3D physical model, and then render that using ray tracing. Ray tracing is a very expensive operation, but they are independent each unit of work. So for me to make this movie, I can distribute the rendering of each of these frames onto the cluster. It's very much similar to the stock example that I gave. So in this case, we're actually using an engineering application called OpenFoam. So this is an actual physical model of a race car going through the air, and we're measuring for drag and lift of the vehicle. But for the purpose of this demo, we are simply using the frames that's auto-generated to use as a sample. So first of all, let's actually take a look at a little neat little Windows Phone application that I created to be able to talk to the cluster that I already deployed. So the cluster that I deployed has approximately 20 cores, so they're large nodes, and I have a head node as well and a front end. The front end is the web portal where you can simply log in and to see what's going on. So let's actually go ahead and run the Windows Phone app. So this is really to show you how easy it is to use the REST-based interface to talk to a cluster using any client. So let me type in my login and password. So by hitting the start rendering button, I'm actually submitting a job to the remote machine, which is the cluster that I deployed over here. So let's look at the actual portal and to see what is happening with the job. We can monitor that what we have submitted over here. So if I click on all jobs, you can see that I have a job number 12 is running. And since we only have 20 cores, we can only run 20 of these tasks at a time, namely, you know, 20 frames that we are trying to render. So if you look at the job details and view tasks, actually, let's look. So you can click on individual tasks and see what it's actually doing. So since this is a parametric sweep application, meaning that all the commands are very much the same. As you can see, that the actual command is run command frame star, which means run it through 0 through 40, which is what I have. So, and then you can look at each individual jobs and what the status looks like. So I clicked on one of them, and since they're still running, we don't have any output yet. The other thing I want to show you is that you can actually terminal service in to the system by going to the Azure portal. So if I click on one of these compute nodes and click on connect, it would allow me to go to the actual nodes that are that's been deployed. So here I have the HPC management console or the job management console. As you can see, you can observe identical information from the web portal. So as we are doing the rendering, you can see that images are being rendered and frames are being completed. And when this rendering job finishes, we are going to receive back a movie from the rendering service to play back right here on our phone. Of course, this particular version is designed for the phone. So the movie encoding is going to make a much smaller version. So as this is running, we want to continue to show you what the web portal what other features the web portal has. So as you can see that we have other features like the job submission page, and here's the movie that it just finished. So you can see that it's receiving back about 40 frames, which is only good for playing back for about a second or so, because we're doing about we're doing about 30 frames per second. So that's my little demo showing you that you can use the REST-based interface to talk to the cluster to let the cluster handle all the heavy lifting, even if you have a very thin client. So the job details tab gives you an idea of what the job looked like. So the image rendering job for device that's the phone that I have registered on the notification channel. So the job resource that we use is per core, so each frame uses a core to do the actual work. So if I save the job as an XML file, I can resubmit the same job again through the web portal by going to new job, a new job from XML. So you can save these and they're rather easy to do. And if we actually take a look at the submission page, you can create a little template that allows you to save and resubmit the same type of jobs again. As you can see, you can do full job, parametric sweep type of job, or you can pretty much do what's suited for your particular job template. So let me also explain to you a little bit how what the actual job is doing for each of these tasks. Since we don't have file shares on Azure, we are actually doing something that's slightly more complicated than rendering images from a single command and where the share of the file is. So we actually have to pull files back from the blob storage. So let's look at the actual task and the details. So here's the command that we ran, but here's the actual actual results from each one of these. So it sets the environment variables, obviously, and then the next thing you do is you actually copy the frame from the blob storage. So there's the blob copy command, and you can use that utility. It's part of the Azure Training SDK. And finally, you unzip it. Now you're ready to actually do the rendering. So the rendering is using the software called Aquis, which is an open source software you can download from the Aquis' website. So once I finished rendering that 3D structure into a frame, which is a ray traced output, you can copy that back to the blob storage. And of course, you need to clean up, because once you finish doing the work, you shouldn't be leaving files around. So, and one of the other thing that we did for the phone demo is that we actually registered on the notification channel, and so we're able to receive toasts back from the phone. So let's actually look at how the deployment is done. So here's a look at the Windows Azure HPC deployment. So you have an Azure front-end node and an optional head node. So the head node is also hosting, the head node could, or the front end could be hosting the Windows HPC Azure scheduler. You can have as many compute nodes as you like. There's also a SQL Azure database that gets deployed to keep track of information about the cluster. So you will need Azure subscription and HPC SDK, and also the Azure SDK 1.6 to be able to deploy your application. So let me show you an example how to do the actual deployment. So for the previous demo, I showed you how to take your Windows Phone client and run that against the Azure deployment that I've done. So here's the detail how you actually do the deployment. It's really fairly simple, and all you have to do is to fill out some basic information and customize it for your application, and then by simply generating a template, and you'll be able to deploy your cluster on Azure using Visual Studio. And here's the demo. So in the demo earlier, we showed you a very quick look at how the cluster works once it's been deployed. So let's actually look at the deployment process. So the first thing you have to do is to run the project as a elevated permission, so it has access to the certificate store. So let's click on the image rendering demo example. So obviously this particular example includes quite a few moving pieces. So the first part is the Azure services and the deployment part that's as the base CS packages that you need to do the deployment. But let's actually look at the application we deployed. So we need a client, a HTTP REST client, to talk to the cluster that we deployed. So that's by simply calling a submit a job via XML script. And we also have the HPC web gateway. And then there's the little phone app that we have. So the most important part of this entire package is the actual deployment configuration. So in here, we have the CS def. So as you can see, I created, I can create the front end, and there's the head node, and there's a compute node. So these are the type of configurations we have. So you can change the VM size as you need to. So in order to do the deployment, you want to set the application configuration to be the default, or the startup project. And there's the CSDef, and then there we also have the config file. So as you can see, the config file allows you to set up how many accounts and the various information that you need to add to the configuration. So the head node, we have one, and for the compute node, we also have one here for the default, but we might want to change that to five as needed, so we can when we do the deployment. So let's go ahead and set, since it's already set, but you know, if you don't have it set, you want to go ahead and set it as a startup project. And then we want to hit start without debugging. So that will compile the project and also bring up the helper screen for the HPC deployment toolkit. What it will do is it will ask you for a subscription, and it will ask you for various other information that's needed. So it looks like it's still compiling. It's taking a little bit of time. Ah, deployment succeeded. So here is the sample Windows Azure application deployment helper window. So what you have to do is to enter the subscription ID and pick a certificate that you want, and also you know the service that you want to deploy it to, which you have to actually first set over here. So I already have that set. Here's the VS deployment. So you have to specify where it is. And another important piece is the you have to set a database for it. So the back end of the HPC job scheduler uses a SQL Azure database. So as you can see that the location is going to be North Central US, and this is a password and a login that you use. As you can see that I logged into my little phone app using password and login that I typed in and created here. So if I hit the configuration, it's going to create a storage account, it's going to create a service, and do all the configuration. So since I already have a deployment there, I already have a deployment over here, if I hit publish, it's going to actually override what I have already deployed out there. So this is this demonstrates how we can do a deployment using Visual Studio. Basically, you take the CS basic package, and it requires you to install Azure SDK 1.6 and the HPC Scheduler SDK from download.microsoft.com. And as you can see, I just overwritten the database that was in the original deployment. So this deployment will take you approximately between 15 minutes and an hour, and then you will have, and then you'll get a cluster on Azure deployed for you that has 5 compute nodes, 1 head node, and a web front end that has its own portal. So as you can see, I can easily deploy a cluster just by going into Visual Studio and create a project and attach any type of code that you want to run, and that includes running executables as well as .NET code. So this process will take a while, and it will have to install the databases and also provision the nodes as a normal Azure deployment. So that concludes our second demo. For a lot of our customers, some of them are IT pro folks, and there's a new way in town to actually deploy your HPC application. So that is using the PowerShell script exclusively available on my blog to be able to deploy a cluster. And the process is fairly simple, and as I will demonstrate, you simply go run the script and fill in a few essential information that like you filled out with the Visual Studio template, but that is that. There's absolutely no need for you to having to install Visual Studio, but still be able to deploy a cluster and run something that you need to run. So for IT pro folks, this is a great way to be able to get up and running and get the users to start using the HPC Azure Scheduler right away. So here's the third demo where we show you how to deploy the cluster using only PowerShell. I have a blog already written for this, and you can go to HPC Tracker on blogs.msndn.com. It goes through pretty much line by line and shows you how to do the deployment. And I included the deployment package right there at the end of the blog. So there it is. So let's actually take a very quick look. What I want to do is run setup again. So it will run into elevated mode. And as you can see that you simply have to run the deploy once it's been set up. Run the deployment script and dash input. The first one is the CFG file. And we have a service sample, which is pretty much what you saw actually at the for the Visual Studio configuration file. So I'm not going to go into too much details, as you can see all of that on my actual blog. The CSDev file, and the service configuration CSDev file. So you press enter. You have to enter your subscription ID. And it's going to ask you for a certificate. So you just have to install that onto the management console. So one of these would be perfectly fine. So hosted service, go to management certificate, make sure that's installed. And let's continue the deployment here. So I'm just going to pick one of these, probably number 3. And I want to deploy onto a hosted service. I would say number 6. So you just have to go create a service if you want to do that. So you just go to hosted service and create one of the host services, an additional one, or you can use an existing one. In this case, I also need a storage account. I'm going to pick number 10. And there's quite a few of those that I'm using for various projects. And of course, there's a database that you have to do. As you can see, it's very much the same process as the Visual Studio deployment, but it's just simply using command line. There's no need for you to install the tool if you're just a sysadmin. And here I am going to take number 3, and you have to type in the SQL admin password. So let's see, you can go through the entire process using my blog, and it pretty much details everything for you. And it will show you that it will set up the database. As you can see, I typed in the admin password and password again. And then it will also go ahead and initialize the database, do the deployment, set up the storage tables, and finally finished all the Azure deployment. And at the end, you'll see that your cluster will be deployed depending on what you want to have. And all of that information can be modified by using a notepad of the CS config and I'll see a CS dev file. So if we go to code here, you can see that those two files are right there. So if I say notepad service config sample, you can change that in a row count, a number of rows you want. So I have 3 here for compute nodes, and also for head node I wanted 1, and also for the web role I just wanted 1. And you also can look at the service definition. Okay, so we looked at service definition. Let's look at service definition. There you go. And here is where you define what size of these VMs you want to be, and additional information, and what modules you have. There's the remote access module, the HPC head node, and then the front end. So this is pretty much all you have to do is to edit these two files and run the script, and suddenly you have an HPC cluster on Azure. Here's more details. Azure HPC Scheduler can be part of your ISV solutions for building applications. So one of the scenarios is an application bursting. So that is where your client application is talking to Azure using the REST interface, but the customer would have to deploy their own cluster. So I demonstrated that using the Windows Phone 7 movie rendering application demo. The second scenario is that you can actually hide the HPC deployment altogether by running the cluster as an ISV that provides a web-based interface to your user. The Windows Azure HPC Scheduler provides these sophisticated scheduling algorithms that allows you to be able to manage multi-user and multi-tenant type of applications that you want to build. So I'll only explain one of these scheduling algorithm here. Backfill means if you have two jobs that require 10 computers each. So when these resources, when resources sit idle for job number one, job number two can actually take advantage of those. So it can use those idle resources of job one, and you can learn more about these advanced scheduling mechanisms or algorithms on our HPC TechNet webpage or on my blog. So once again, you can take advantage of these advanced infrastructure management capabilities of HPC by making that part, making the Azure HPC Scheduler part of your application. So by using the HPC Job Scheduler, you also get a tested and reliable component that is capable of handling very heavy distributed workload. One of the most important aspect of distributed applications is really testing. So our HPC Scheduler has been tested very heavily, going through hundreds and actually millions of jobs submission, be able to handle these workload and be able to launch your jobs very efficiently. So also not to mention that the existing HPC applications requires runtime like MPI and Parametric Sweep and SOA. These runtimes are only available through the use of HPC Job Scheduler. So for developers and end users, you don't really need to learn two different systems on an on-premise or an on-Azure HPC system. So everything will look very familiar to you. So if you're doing programming or management, they're very much transparent to help you to move from on-premise to on-Azure or vice versa. So in fact, the recent training kit that we developed that require very little modifications to run the same on-premise and burst HPC applications entirely on Azure. So we took a burst application that I worked with one of the developer on. That was the very first time that I used it. I think it took us exactly 26 minutes on a phone call to get that same application working on Scheduler on Azure. So to wrap up, we'll review what we've learned today. So whether you're being a developer or simply a HPC user, you can use the Azure HPC Scheduler to utilize the power of Azure. So once again, this applies to enterprise power users who demand additional resources or in-house developers. The custom HPC code base is about 60% of the entire HPC code base. So most HPC applications are actually developed in-house. So packaged software can also interface with HPC Job Scheduler to burst additional workload to Azure transparently. So finally, vendors can develop an entire software as a service solution using the scheduler as a component for your software. So here are more resources and links. The first link is the MSDN link for Windows HPC, and the second link is my blog, and Windows Azure Platform Training Kit is the third link. So for the Windows Azure Platform Training Kit, we'll have a lot of these HPC samples and demos published, so you can take a look at them and be able to use them as an example to implement your solution.